Radio Prague News.
Swiss prosecutors have accused seven people of money laundering and other crimes related to an unspecified Czech energy firm. Only registered companies will be allowed to grow medical cannabis under a proposal to legalize the use of marijuana in medicine. And a new poll suggests growing support for the senior coalition Civic Democrats. The Swiss federal prosecution in Bern has accused seven people of money laundering and other financial crimes related to the privatization of an unspecified Czech energy firm, the Czech news agency ČTK reported on Monday. Most of the accused are Czech, according to the AFP news agency. The charges are most likely linked to the case of the dubious privatization of the brown coal mining company Mostecká uhelná, today renamed Czech Coal, which Swiss prosecutors have been investigating since 2005. There are suspicions that the 1998 acquisition of the company could have been paid for by money which should have been set aside for recultivation of former mining sites, but found its way into foreign bank accounts. Only registered firms will be allowed to grow medical cannabis, according to a proposal by an expert group working on a bill to legalize the use of marijuana in medicine. A member of the group told reporters on Monday that abuse of medical marijuana should be prevented by registering its users. It will still be illegal for individuals to grow cannabis plants for their own use. The group proposes medical cannabis should be grown in the country as well as imported from abroad. Marijuana-based substances should be covered by health insurance. The Czech government should discuss the new bill in December. A new survey by the STEM agency released on Monday suggests growing support for the coalition's Civic Democrats. Although the opposition Social Democrats in October maintained their lead with 25.3% of support, the right-wing Civic Democrats enjoyed a support of 15.7%, up to 12.9% in the previous month. Only two other parties would make it to the lower house, the coalition Topo 9 with 9.3% and the opposition Communists with 11.2% of voters' support. Czech doctors and nurses' trade unions on Monday gave the government an ultimatum to deliver on its promise of raising their salaries. If the health minister does not provide guarantees for a 10% raise in salaries of health workers in 2012 by the 5th of November, union leaders say they will launch a new round of protests. For his part, Health Minister Leo Heger said it was not his intention to back down on the pay rise. Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová on Monday moved up a notch to career-high world number 3 in the WTA's ranking following her victory at the Linz tournament last week. The 21-year-old Wimbledon champion switched places with Victoria Azarenka from Belarus, whom she'll play in the first round of the WTA Championships in Istanbul on Tuesday. The number one among Czech men, Tomáš Berdych, remains at 7th place of the ATP rankings. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The start of the week will be mostly overcast with rain and fog in places. Daytime highs should range between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Today, jailhouse gridlock. A report into Czech prisons highlights terrible conditions for many inmates. We'll be taking a closer look. And in this week's one-on-one, Ian Willoughby talks to former tennis club owner Freddy Botor about ethnic tensions in his native Moravia in the 1930s.
The Germans had their own schools and we had our own schools, you know. And the hatred was built in already between Czechs and Germans.
That's coming up. There's also news of Petra Kvitová in the WTA Championships and a roundup of the rest of the sports news, plus another chance to learn Czech through music in Soundcheck. You're tuned to Radio Prague. An ongoing investigation into the recently thwarted mutiny in a number of Czech prisons suggests that the plot had nothing to do with the notorious Berdych gang, as previously thought, but was incited by much more prosaic reasons, the atrocious living conditions in Czech jailhouses. Daniela Lazarová has that story.
A shower just once a week, overcrowded prison cells, foul food, inadequate medical care, and restricted free time activities in order to save on electricity bills. Such is the volley of complaints coming from Czech prisons. A lack of facilities and slashed funding has led to a sharp deterioration of living conditions in the vast majority of Czech jailhouses, some of which are now bursting at the seams. Two prison houses have overstepped their capacity by 30%, and overcrowded cells no longer meet the set norm of 4 square meters per prisoner. Frustrated inmates are demanding their rights, and many are seeking the advice of lawyers immediately on their release. The Czech Justice Ministry says it has received dozens of demands for compensation, and several prisoners have taken their case to court. Petr, who asked to remain in anonymity, wants $500,000 from the state for the inhumane living conditions in which he was forced to serve his sentence.
There were 15 or 16 of us in one cell, in exceptional cases as many as 18. I documented every aspect of my life there, and I've detailed plans of the jailhouse and the cells in which I was kept. There is plenty of evidence pointing to the fact that even the most basic norms, which should be guaranteed by law, are not adhered to.
While some jailhouses claim they respect hygiene norms, which say prisoners should be allowed to shower daily, prisoners themselves tell a different story. In an effort to save on electricity, many jailhouses have banned electric kettles, which prisoners were allowed to use in their cells to make hot tea, and imposed other cost-cutting restrictions. Prisoners claim that the inability to shower more than once a week in overcrowded cells creates inhumane conditions and gives rise to unnecessary friction. Petr Kacher, a spokesman for the prison service, admits that this is a problem.
We have not so far dropped under 3.5 square meters per prisoner. An exemption to the law allows that in emergencies, but it is not a move in the right direction. Instead of increasing space, as is usual in Western Europe, we are doing the exact opposite.
The Czech Helsinki Committee is inundated with complaints and has repeatedly criticized the prison service for failing to meet basic norms. The head of the prison service, Jiří Tregler, says that until an electronic bracelet system for monitoring convicts is in place, enabling judges to impose alternate punishments, conditions in Czech prisons will not improve.
I fear that we may soon have to deal with another mutiny and have to increase security measures yet again because conditions are problematic and the number of prisoners is constantly increasing.
At present, there are over 23,000 prisoners doing time in the country's jailhouses, well past a 22,000 ceiling which experts considered critical. Over 5,000 convicts are wanted by the police for avoiding their jail sentences. If they too were to turn up at the country's prison gates, Mr. Tregler says he has no idea how the service would cope.
Daniela Lazarová there with that report about concerns of the conditions in Czech prisons. This is Radio Prague. Time now for sport, and it's football and tennis making the headlines. Here is Jan Mellinger. And we begin first with football. Jablonec, Liberec and Plzeň all won in the Gambrinus Liga at the weekend to pull closer to league leader Sparta Prague, who are due to play against Teplice on Monday in an away game. Sparta have not beaten Teplice on the road in 10 years, making the matchup on Monday one to watch. At the weekend, Jablonec, second in the league standings, came back from a goal down against Dukla Prague, eventually winning 3-1. Liberec, third, scored in the final minute of their game against Ostrava to take all 3 points. And defending league champions Victoria Plzeň, meanwhile, were kept off the scoreboard in the first half against Victoria Žižkov, but exploded in the second with 4 goals to down the Prague club 4-1. After the match, here's what the team's captain, Pavel Horvat, had to say. I think that our recent experience in the Champions League against top European clubs may have helped. Not that we've been playing all that much faster, but we're playing the ball quickly and it's tougher for opponents to defend.
Pavel Horvat, the captain of Victoria Plzeň, they're reacting and discussing his club's recent win. Further abroad in the English Premier League, London football club Chelsea with goalkeeper Petr Cech had an opportunity at the weekend to move into second place in the standings over Manchester United. But the club lost against Queen's Park Rangers, having two men sent off in the game. QPR were awarded a penalty, and while Cech got a touch of the ball, it wasn't enough, and 1-0 was how it ended. Turning to hockey, in the Czech domestic league, Gladno goalie Jan Chabera earned a shutout at the weekend against Sparta Prague, stopping 29 shots. Gladno won the game in overtime. The player told the Czech media that he was enjoying playing for Gladno. The team is currently in 8th spot out of 14 teams. Last season, the goalie took a break from the Czech league, playing in Slovenia. Overseas in NHL action, hockey goalie Tomáš Vokoun is currently showing top form as his Washington Capitals remain undefeated this season. Vokoun notched his 6th win in a row at the weekend as his team downed the Detroit Red Wings. The goalie, who only joined Washington this year, stopped 32 shots and allowed a single goal. Washington crushed Detroit 7-1. In other NHL action, Ottawa's Milan Michalek, also on a streak, scored the winner against Columbus in the final minute of the third period at the weekend. Ottawa took that game 4-3. And finally, tennis. The Czech Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitová will face tough opposition in the red group at the upcoming WTA Championships in Istanbul, Turkey, on the road to the semifinals. Kvitová faces Caroline Wozniak, Věra Zvonareva and Agnieszka Radvanska. Sharapova, Victoria Azarenka, the French Open champion Lina, and US Open winner Samantha Stosur are in the white group. Each player will play their group opponent once, with the top two in each pool moving to the semis. And the championship final itself will be held on Sunday, so hopefully Kvitová will do well. I'm Jan Velinger, and that's the sport.
Jan Velinger there with all Monday's sport. Now, time on Radio Prague for our regular interview programme, One on One. And this week, Ian Willoughby talks to 89-year-old Freddy Bautur, a retired entrepreneur well-known in the New York tennis world, about his life and especially about growing up in the interwar Moravia.
Freddy Bautur, who was born Vratislav Bautur, fled Czechoslovakia in 1948. Shortly after taking part in a student march to Prague Castle, aimed at preventing the communists from seizing power. The ambitious young émigré eventually ended up in New York, where he became a successful developer and owner of tennis clubs, including the well-known Tennis Port on the banks of the East River. Today, a few months before his 90th birthday, he's preparing to bring out an autobiography, looking back over what's been a remarkable life. I met Freddy Bautur when he made a recent visit to Prague.
I was born in Moravia, in Bistek, which is very close to Ostrava, in 1922. We never had electricity until about 1928 or 29, so that time there were petrol lamps, you know, and we heated with the coal. My mother, she was a concert violinist, you know, and my father was a butcher and wholesale meat and in a big way, you know. He was very successful.
Was it a happy childhood?
Well, it was a sort of a difficult childhood because I lived most of the time with my grandmother and grandfather because my father left when I was 2 years old. And he came back and mother took him back when I was about 10. And he was like a monarch. He was typical from Austrian-Hungarian still time, you know, because he was born in 1888, yeah. And then he became the director of the biggest meat packing and sausage factories in Vienna before he They must have met probably in Vienna or somewhere when my mother was playing.
You were a teenager in the 1930s. Did you sense the atmosphere changing as the Second World War approached?
Now, let me explain it to you. There was at that time during the Czechoslovakia, the Germans had their own schools and we had our own schools, you know. And the hatred was built in already between Czechs and Germans. When we have been meeting sometimes after school, we have seen the German students, you know, the boys going out there. We have been thrown at each other. We have been throwing stones at each other and had fights. So it was already that time that part of the growing up, it was in you. That's why my mother could later never could understand how come I could have married a German.
Tell me, what kind of a war did you have, so to speak, you and your family? What were your experiences during World War II?
I remember, as in front of my eyes, like today, I was with my mother in opera in Ostrava. In the middle of it, the director came on the stage, everything stopped, and he said, the Germans just drove in, we were occupied, and everything stopped. The musicians played the National Anthem and the Gdedom of Mui, and everybody was crying. It was very sad time. We didn't have to, we were not obliged to go to the army, only volunteers. But we were obliged to go to labor camps, you know.
In 1948, when the communists took over in Czechoslovakia, you were a student. Yeah. And I believe you were an anti-communist student.
I was so-called National Socialistic Party, yeah. And also a friend of USA. I still have the card. I don't know. My mother must have had it in her.
You were a member of this organization, Friends of America.
Friends of USA. My mother collected everything what I had. And when she died, I looked through it. I still had a membership card. And so they have been looking for us as a student when we started to demonstrate and march on the Hrad, yeah.
So you're one of the students who took part in the famous demonstration.
This demonstration. And that for the, after that, our leader, Emil Ransdorf, he said, we better go, we better leave, because they have their spies between us, their cells, and they will know our names and everybody. And I went back to Ostrava right away, and my father said, well, you better leave, because if there is no future anyway out there, and they probably arrest you, and who knows what happens, and you have more possibilities in the West. And he gave me a couple of addresses of his former colleagues from Vienna when he used to work with them in Germany, in Frankfurt, and in Fürth. Well, this is what I'm describing in my book, you know, the details out there of those stories, you know, because it was very interesting time, and it was hunger too. I learned how to really appreciate food.
To jump forward a long way in time now, you eventually ended up in America after some time in Australia, and you became a kind of owner and developer of tennis clubs. How did you get into that whole business?
Now, this is a very fine story. In Frankfurt, I was walking around desperate, and I walked in a park, Palmen Garden. And in Palmen Garden, in the middle, I see there were about six red tennis courts. And a man comes out from that clubhouse. He said, Mister, do you play tennis? And since I play tennis already in Czech Republic as a hobby, I said, yes, do me a favor. There's a gentleman, American captain, who would love to play tennis, and he doesn't have anybody. Would you play with him? You know, and here comes a short, bald-headed gentleman. And we played for about almost an hour, and I was almost fainting from hunger. And he loved it. And at the end, he came in and gave me two scripts. The scripts were the army dollars. You know, you for the scripts, you could go and go in the PX, and like the army, you got for 80 cents for a full meal, you know, you ate like a pig, you know, for 80 cents. And for the rest, I bought a carton of cigarettes. And for the cigarettes, I went on the black market, so I changed it. I sold it for 30 marks. I got again my $2 back. I ate, and he asked me to play next day. He told it to his friend, and then the commissioner for Germany, John McCloy, started to play with me. This was my beginning of my tennis career.
Well, during all your decades in the tennis business in the States, I know you have done a lot to help young Czech people and Slovak people who arrived in New York.
It was like almost like the radio out there somewhere, you know, between the Czechs, you know. So they have their small groups and so on, so it spreads the word. And once they find out I have the tennis club, if it was a West Park Racquet Club or the Armory or 59th Street, and then the tennis court at the end. So they started to come in, said, could I have a job? Could I do this? There were mostly a lot of Czechs, you know, including one of the famous Czech, Pepa Malacek, who was national hero in Czechoslovakia as a hockey player, you know. I gave him a job, you know, so he was teaching tennis at my clubs.
My final question is, how is it for you coming back here today at the age of nearly 90 years old?
Or 3 months. It's wonderful. I love to come, but, you know, it's a different way of life. You got accustomed to the Western or American way of life. It's more beautiful here. It's a history here. But still, it is not home anymore because my children were born there. So, you know, it is heartbreaking, you know, that you... And, of course, you cannot call it home because 90% of my friends are not here anymore. They are dead. I have only a few friends left who are here, you know.
And a cheerful end there to One on One with Ian Willoughby. He was talking, of course, to 89-year-old Freddie Botor, a retired entrepreneur who now lives in New York but was originally from Moravia. This is Radio Prague. Time now to learn Czech through music. Jan Richter investigates the music of Vladimír Mišík.
Sedí dám lásko pod stromeček, kasetu Saljašky s nahrávkou Vlčích smeček.
Hello and welcome to Sound Czech, our popular miniseries in which you can learn some interesting Czech phrases while listening to music. Today's song is by Vladimír Mišík and it's called Co ti dám. The phrase to listen out for is na hromádce. The phrase na hromádce means on a heap and has very much the same meaning. But in Czech it is also used to say that a couple lives together without being married. Žijí spolu na hromádce thus literally means they live together on a heap. They have a common law marriage. Unlike real marriage, though, it has no legal ramifications in the Czech Republic and is ever more common. In this seasonal song, with lyrics by the Czech poet Pavel Šrut, the singer enumerates all the things he will give his loved one for Christmas. One of his promises involves life on decent basis rather than existence on a heap. Have another listen. Talking about living together without being married, people sometimes use the euphemism bez prstínku, without the ring. There is also the peculiar phrase napsi knižku, which could perhaps be translated as on a dog book. The origins of that expression are unclear. Linguists believe it might suggest the problematic legal status of this kind of union. But they say it is impossible to find out how it was first coined. There are also several expressions for people who live in regular marriage. For instance, you can say so svoji, literally, they belong to each other. A married man can sometimes be referred to as being v chomoutu, or in horse collar, while married women are pod čepcem, under the bonnet, an expression the Czech language shares with German. Thank you for listening to Sound Czech, and goodbye. A ne tu existenci na hromádce mých nezbytných a tak zbytečných věcí. A v rámu okna zasponí vlastní těch. Jo.
Vladimír Mišík ending Radio Prague for today, ending Soundcheck. There'll be more of that, of course, hopefully same time next week. You can, of course, contact us via the website. Please go to www.radio.cz, click on the English service. You can catch up with us as well on Facebook and on Twitter, all mod cons these days, of course. Looking out of the window here, it's a cloudy, autumnal, little cold day here in Prague. So from next time, from me... Until next time, from me, Peter Smith. Bye-bye.